You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And last week, we talked a little Big Ten with Kim Barnes-Arrico, and we're going to go south this week. And we're going to talk SEC basketball with Texas A&M head coach Gary Blair. Coach, welcome back to the show. It's always great to have you.
It's good to be on the dish.
Well,
dishing, I guess you would say, right?
Well, you know, I'll try and dish them out to you for some swishing. How's that?
All right.
You know, you coaches always want to see scoring anyway.
That's right. Well, I'm ready for the four-point play.
Well, Coach, hey, first question I have to ask you is, you know, this whole SEC thing is new enough as is, but then just on the 24th, you guys went down and you had to be on the opposite side of Vic Schaefer. And I was just curious what it was like to coach against your longtime friend and assistant there.
Well, it was sort of like when we play golf. He's a 4 handicapper and I'm a 9 handicapper, okay? Generally, he beats me, at least later on in his career. But I felt like I had a full set of clubs and he only had a 2-iron. And my full set of clubs, I thought we played 13 kids. They did very well, and I just thought we had the better team. He's rebuilding his program, not just his team. And I was happy for him because then on Sunday he went and played his rival Ole Miss and was able to outscore him 21 in the second half and come back and get his first SEC win. So I'm happy for Vic, but in years to come, he's going to have a full set of clubs, and I'm going to have a full set of clubs.
No question about that. And, you know, the one thing that you guys are both bringing to the SEC with the volume is defensive pressure. And that's, of course, been a key behind A&M team success for years. And now it's just in a different conference, and you're still holding teams. You know, only one team, and that was Kentucky, has broken 60 against you in the conference so far.
Well, Kentucky's broken 60 against everybody I think they've played this year. And Matthew's got a great ball club. He's got one of the best players in the country in Mathis. He'll be a high WNBA player. But their point guard, O'Neal, bothered us more than anybody. We didn't have an answer for her, and she did a good job. Stallworth played well. But we were up on them early, up at half, but just couldn't finish the deal. And that's what a home court will do for you. And they played well down the stretch, and we turned it over in the crucial times where we had a chance to tie the ball game and threw it away. But we get a rematch back at our place. I'm just hoping when the rematch happens, both of us is taking care of business, and it'll be for the SEC lead. But we got a lot of tough ball games in between. And so there's some good basketball being played, and I hope when we do play this year, it's a good Monday night game, because too many of the Monday night games on television have been blowouts this year. The country needs to see a good tight ball game, and hopefully Matthew and I can do that on the 18th.
I agree with you. That has been a big problem with these nationally televised games, that to grow the sport, we've got to get more teams that can play on parity with other great teams. You know, even the Tennessee-Notre Dame game, which ended up being fairly close, had its moments of not being particularly compelling basketball last night. But that's a story for another day. Coach, you did mention the fact that you have a tough schedule coming up. You've got Vanderbilt on Thursday. Then it's going to be national television and LSU, and then you get to go see Dawn Staley, and then Florida all before Kentucky. So my first question for you about this new conference in the SEC, how much excitement and different approach do you have when you play teams for the first time like you have this year? This is almost like a full out-of-conference schedule for you.
It is. The SEC only had to learn 2 new teams. We have to learn 12 new teams. And since I left there in 03 to go to the Big 12, all the head coaches have changed except for Andy Landers, and his hair is still dark, and he's still winning. And Melanie Balcom was in her first year there. Everybody else is new. The programs are different. The players are different. And really, when we were in the Big 12, we probably only played during that 9-year stretch about 5 SEC teams. So I've got to learn the league again, but they've got to learn us as well. But the league is very top-heavy right now. I think the SEC is going to be one along with the Big East at the top of the Big East. And, of course, the Big 12 is always solid, particularly with Baylor, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. I think those three will probably battle for second in that league. But I like the SEC. The travel's different, new restaurants, new hotels, new game preparations. But I brought in Bob Starkey as an assistant who had 22 years in the SEC, both on the men and the women's side. And he's helping me become acclimated with a lot of the tendencies that the coaches like to do. Like Dawn Staley's playing a very aggressive defense. She's almost the Baltimore Ravens of the SEC. She's really making the scores low and playing good defense, and hopefully you can kick a few field goals to win when you play there. And Matthew, what he's doing on the defensive end with the full court pressure and everything, it's a carbon copy of what we did when we got to A&M. We had to play that style. Coach Schaefer at Mississippi State will eventually get there when he gets better players and he can get his full system in. Tennessee's playing a whole lot more aggressive. They do not have the depth due to injuries and other things, but I think they're a very aggressive team. So it's going to be good. You throw Georgia and you throw Vanderbilt in there. I think it's going to be a fight to see who wins it because there's not a clear-cut favorite in the SEC this year.
You know, it's funny. Whatever happened to these days of just a high-scoring offense in the SEC? I mean, these teams are all defensive-minded now, as you said, which, if nothing else, it keeps the games close.
Well, somebody asked me the difference between the Big 12 and the SEC. The SEC is just like it's football. It's a defensive conference where the Big 12 in football is an offensive conference. I think it's a little bit of the same thing except for Baylor, and Baylor's got both defense and offense and Griner and Mulkey. And so, but the SEC, they contest you on everything. They deny the ball. They're all over the court, and they go up in the air and block shots, where in the Big 12, we call it the bank robber defense. Reach to the sky with your hands and try to smother you with a double team. And so it's a little bit different in the SEC. We're having to learn how to play both ways. And but I'm enjoying it so far. But, of course, you would enjoy it when you're 6-1 in the league right now.
Absolutely, including wins over ranked teams like Georgia and Arkansas. And so definitely off to a great start. Now, when we talked last year, it was towards the beginning of the season, and it stuck with me. I remember you talking about the need to convince Kelsey Bone that she wasn't Danielle Adams,
right,
and that she needed to start getting inside and she needed to be the Kelsey Bone that you knew she could be. She's gotten the message.
Well, she is playing as well. I think she really got the message also after the Connecticut game. Her and Bellick both played very poorly in that game, as well as our whole team in Connecticut just put it to us like they've done just about everybody else this year, except Notre Dame. But all of a sudden, Kelsey realized, and I sat there and talked to her about it. I said, there's hardly any more Courtney Parises playing in college basketball. They're the lean ones. They're the Stephanie Dolson, who lost a lot of weight, the Breonna Stewarts of the world, the stalwarts. The kids like that are the smaller post players. Those are the ones that are also playing USA basketball, the long and lean and versatile kids that can play against international ball, that you have to go out and guard a five-out offense if you're going to play Korea or Taiwan or some of those teams. So the game has changed. There's still room. Kelsey dropped a lot of weight, and she works out hard in the gym. And the biggest difference on offense is she's the first one down the court. And she is really running, trying to get down there before they can have a double team on her. So she's realizing her best basketball is in front of her. But the thing that has improved more than anything is her passing skills. the other day when we were playing Missouri, she had five. They're camping in on a 2-3 zone and putting two or three on her. She's getting the assists and kicking out, and then is enjoying the pass as much as she's enjoying making the shot.
Yeah, I mean, she's right there alongside a number of your guards in terms of team assists for the year. But, you know, 17 points, 9.7 rebounds per game. You know, she's clearly stepped up. I mean, the game against Notre Dame was just amazing to watch. She played by far her best game of her college career. And it's good to see. I mean, she's a girl that a lot of people expected an awful lot out of when she first came out of high school along with Griner. And it's good to see that she's taken it seriously and gotten herself in the conditioning that she is.
Well, her career is flourishing right now. She's going to be the type like Carolyn Peck who will be on TV one day broadcasting. But first, she's got a lot of basketball in front. Her communication skills are excellent. Her work habits and her leadership are the two things that have separated her from last year to this year. The best news is we've got another year with her next year, and those seven freshmen will grow up to be sophomores next year. So I'm looking forward to next year as much as this year. But at the same time, I don't want to wait till next year. I want to take advantage now. We've been injury-free all year. Let's stay that way. And hopefully we can get hot during the playoffs. We host the first and second rounds here. And that's a key for us getting as high of a seed as possible for we can play the lowest seeds as possible when they come to our place. And but before that, we have the hardest schedule in the SEC. I promise you. Tennessee has the easiest schedule as far as teams that are picked in the league. You play everybody one time in the league, and you play three teams twice. Your travel partner, which is LSU, is ours. They're picked six. We got Kentucky twice. They're picked first. And then we got Vanderbilt twice. They're picked third. So we got 1, 3, and 6. And then we got both Georgia and Tennessee and South Carolina on the road. So this was my welcome to the SEC party. I hope I can give them a parting gift at the end because they gave me a heck of a schedule.
Jeez, you know, I blame it all on Manziel.
Yes, it's Johnny. I get my clothes at Harley's, a clothing store where his mom works here in town.
Oh, yeah.
And she's always got me a Johnny story to tell or whatever. But he has meant as much to one program as any athlete, I think, ever in college ball, and he's only a freshman. What he's done for A&M, the branding of A&M nationally is unbelievable. Did you get to see the football throw that he did on top? Pull it up on YouTube.
It's yes, I saw that.
He did it on his fifth take.
Really?
Unbelievable. You probably saw my YouTube tape when I hit that half-court shot underhand at Kentucky. I hit the shot and lost the ball game. That's the difference, though. Johnny's winning all the ball games and still hitting the shots.
Coach, I think it was because the dancing you did afterwards affected the eyesight on your teammate. They thought they were going blind after watching that.
Well, look, let me tell you, if they would just play some jitterbug music, I could do that. I just can't do any of this new stuff. The Dougie, the wobble, and the moonwalk, it's beyond me. But, hey, I'd love to do it one more time. If I could get the dance, I'll make a fool of myself again.
That's it. You just want to be back on SportsCenter for another year.
Oh, just give me one more ego trip, and I'll be glad to be the dummy.
Coach, just talk to me for a second about Adrian Pratcher. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about the nation's leading assist-to-turnover ratio queen right now. I mean, this girl is just not turning the ball over, and that has to coincide with the run of success that you've had.
Well, a lot of it goes back to the days, all the way back to Christy Smith at Arkansas, to Amy Wright, who's my assistant coach, to Carl Williams, to Aquanisha Franklin, to Sidney Colson. I'm a set coach. I'm not a motion coach. When you run sets and you finally get a kid into her senior year, she understands deception, she understands timing, And they have a great working relationship, her and Bone and her and Bellick right now. She's got two freshmen on the wing. And that's what I like to do. I don't like to turn the ball over. She leads the SEC also in three-point shooting. That's what we did not expect. But she hit six of them the other night, six out of nine. So when they're camping in on zones, and we're seeing more zone than we ever have, she's available and she can get her shot off. But she's a very unassuming kid. And she's also the one that wants to go to ESPN. But she wants to be the producer. Kelly Bone wants to be the star. So there's a little bit difference in personalities here.
Yeah.
Very quiet. But she's really playing well right now.
And then the other thing that, to me, has been very impressive is, you know, the team started off, of course, with that difficult out-of-conference, you know, three top 10 teams in a row to start the season, which, of course, we know were the three losses. But, you know, not long after that, then you had to deal with Standish leaving and resetting your whole alignment as to how you were going to play with seven freshmen. And the team has just taken off, and the only two losses subsequent were both, you know, single-digit losses to Notre Dame and Kentucky, both 5 and 6 in the country at the time.
Well, first, we got blindsided on the Standish deal, and we didn't see it coming. She had just made all-tournament, the Thanksgiving tournament, the weekend before. She came in, said she was tired of basketball, tired of me, tired of everything, just wanted to be a student at A&M, which she's doing, and a very good student. And sometimes kids just get burnt out. But at the same time, I had three-point guards. And plus, I was redshirting another one. And so sometimes I was trying to give all three kids looks. So sometimes you have addition by subtraction. Whether you want subtraction or not, you have addition. Because now it gives Pratcher, a senior, she knows looking over her shoulder, she's got a McDonald's All-American freshman, but that McDonald's All-American does not know my offense like her, cannot do the 3-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio, cannot be the three-point threat. She will be in time, but right now, all of a sudden that senior says, I'm the woman, I'm the woman. And with Standish there, they were both about equal, and so they were always looking over each other's shoulder. So we're playing well. Pratcher's just a good kid, a very unheralded kid. Hopefully she'll get some attention at the end of the year as long as our team keeps doing well. And perhaps she can go overseas like seven of my kids are over there right now playing.
You know, and people expected things out of, you know, out of Bone and Carla Gilbert. You know, but, you know, I don't think anybody expected Christy Bellick or Adrian Pratcher to do the things that they've done. I mean, Bellick has already played more minutes this year than she did the entire 3 years in her previous years of her career.
Well, the one thing, she should be the poster child for every kid and every coach that's had a kid that's had to sit behind very, very good players. Instead of getting her lip down and the parents ringing my phone off the wall, she just got better as a player, playing behind Adora Lanu for 3 years, who's over in Israel playing now. And she just said, hey, I'm going to be a good teammate while I'm playing behind somebody. Then when my time comes, we took our team to Italy this summer. She was our best player over there, and it has continued. And everything, she's always got that gigantic smile. I would have that smile, too, if my grades were as good as hers and my game was as good as her. So she's playing very well, very unassuming. She doesn't need to be the star. If we need 16 or 18 from her, fine. If not, we need 8 from her. And she's very good. You look at her stats all the way across the board, she's doing excellent. She's a kid from New Orleans that is just really finding her niche. If the WNBA doesn't want her, she'll play 10 years overseas. So she'll have a good career.
You know, Coach, this year with all these groups, all the freshmen and all you, It was nice to see that even with the conference move, you had no issues with tapping into the local Texas pipeline. The whole team is predominantly Texan still. As you go forward, do you anticipate that you may be shifting your sights a little bit more towards the region that's more SEC-oriented, or are you going to stay with the locals? And I think that's going to be a problem with the Big 12 teams using you know, the fact that they can play Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Baylor and all those other Texas and Oklahoma region schools?
Well, that's what the Big 12 is trying to sell right now. But at the same time, we signed the number one post player in the state this year, Jada Terry. And that's the only Texas kid we went after because we had signed those six guards the year before. So everybody else got a guard in Texas. But we wanted to show confidence towards those kids we got, so we didn't go. We went after some out-of-state kids, some four players, ended up losing them. But we went after some of the best, so we lost one to Duke, one to Georgetown, one to Dayton. But they were all great kids. And that's what's going to happen. Right now, we're out all over the Southeast, okay, because we're a national brand now, not just a regional brand. And so when I was in the gym a couple weeks ago, we had a bye, and I was in Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina. All of a sudden, you walk in, and it's not just Johnny Football now. Hey, weren't y'all national champions? Hey, glad y'all in the SEC now. Because those kids in that area now know we'll bring them back to their state, okay? Instead of just coming and playing for us, we'll go back and we'll play games in those states. The other thing that the Big 12 and the schools in Texas cannot do, we still play 16 home games a year. Those parents from Texas kids are all coming. We had every one of our kids from Texas, their parents here this past weekend at Parents Day weekend. So they're not missing a boat, and when we sign our new TV deal next year, there will not be a better one in the country than what the SEC has. We're going to be on TV Thursday night against Vanderbilt. We'll be on Big Monday against LSU at LSU, and then we'll be on Big Monday again on national TV. So we're reaping the benefits of the SEC. We're reaping the benefits of a number two recruiting class, and we're reaping the benefits of a national championship in 2011.
And I think something to do with it, with, you know, having a Hall of Fame coach has something to do with that too. So, you know, I think that might be helping you reap some of those benefits, Coach. Congratulations on your induction, your selection into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Well deserved.
I appreciate it. I wish I could take all my assistant coaches and all my players with me because I hire good people. A lot of them are out coaching now in high school or college or junior college. And, hey, I've learned one thing. It's not all about the I in your forehead. You got to have the we out there. You got to learn how to hire people that might be better than you in certain areas and then let them work. And when it comes their time to push them out the door, you push them out the door to be the best that they can be.
Hey, at least with Foster, we got a little male power going in this year.
Hey, it's going to be good. I hope Jim has. Does he actually have a coat, or is he going to wear a sweater to the Hall of Fame? I mean, it's going to be real important to see him all dressed up for once. But it's going to be good. Annette Smith, who played at Texas, is going in, and then because I recruited her and lost her, and then Jen Rosati, who I had a chance to coach over in the Jones Cup team in '96, and Sue Wicks going in from Rutgers, a great player, and Jennifer Gillum, who I replaced here at Texas A&M. She was a great player at Ole Miss and then helped Van Chancellor with the Rockets. Hey, it's a great class going in. I'm just one of the lucky ones, and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of that weekend.
And it's a fun class. It should be a great weekend. You know, the people, there's a lot of great personalities in that group, that's for sure.
Yeah, my hardest thing is I've got to figure out who I'm going to get to do the introduction of me. I've got a lot of friends out there, and I haven't decided on who that person is going to be yet, and but I'm gonna have some fun.
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, I do have one final question for you. We're kind of looking for a home up here these days. What do you think? Can you squeeze UConn into the SEC?
You are looking for a home there. I'm tired of all this changing around. To tell you the truth, I'm tired of. All the Catholic schools are going to go find the Catholic League. Maybe they can get Brigham Young to join them. That would work, wouldn't it? I'll leave that one alone.
Yes, I think that would be a good idea before we all get in trouble for that.
Because I'm Episcopalian, to tell you the truth.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you for taking some time with me today. And as you said already, a couple of great games coming up on national television, so we will certainly all be able to see how the Texas A&M team continues to grow and prosper. You know, it's certainly been an interesting season with that beginning, and then now this middle here has really been polar opposites. So enjoy the ride. It's certainly been a fun one.
Well, it has been. I'm a 67-year-old that feels like a 17-year-old at times. Then sometimes I feel like a 97-year-old. So I'm having the time of my life, and I just hope there's more W's than L's.
Yes, sir. Thanks again, and have a good day.
Thank you.